A warm welcome to Church Online as we gather together to worship, pray and grow as a community in Jesus. A special welcome if you're with us for the first time. My name is Lynn and I'll be sharing with you today. Every week we light a candle here and at home. It's a tangible symbol of God in our midst and a reminder of Christ, light of the world. We value connecting with others and we have a number of connect groups or small groups that do just that. It's a great way to belong, a place to care for each other, to believe, that is to grow in our discipleship, and they don't exist for themselves, but also to bless others, to belong, to believe, and to bless others. So if you aren't a part of a connect group and would like to be, and that could be via Zoom or other virtual means, please email me at minister@awuc.org.au and I'll pass your details on to our connect coordinator. We're also looking to set up a private Facebook group for Church Online, a place where we can be community together, so watch out for that. Last week in our community life, we hosted the Presbytery of Southern SA meeting here, a regional uniting church meeting. With a large building, we were able to have quite a number of people within the COVID requirements. The chairperson was installed, Hayden Lush was ordained. We shared communion together and we considered presbytery business, and it was encouraging to be able to gather together in this way. We hope this service is refreshing for your soul today. We worship together. Where wide sky rolls down and touches red sand, where sun turns to gold, the grass of the land, let Spinifex, Mulga and Waterhole tell their joy in the one who made everything well.
Reading from Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 to 30, from the NIV version. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labour for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again for your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one Spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw that I had and now hear that I still have. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
When did you last write a letter? A real letter. Not an email, not a message on a social media platform, not a text, but a real letter. I can't remember the last time. But some of you will, and some of you might not. Today we're reading part of a letter. It's not an email or a text, it's a full-bodied letter. The type of letter one used to send when that was the only means of communication. Some of us remember that. Some of us don't. We're dipping out of Matthew today. Not that I didn't want to bring a message on the parable of the workers in the vineyard, but we've been in Matthew for a number of weeks, and I thought this week we could dip into Philippians. It's a rich text, an encouraging one. The letter of Philippians is a unique window into Paul's heart and mind. It's his most affectionate letter. Unlike some of his others, like Galatians and Ephesians and Colossians, he's not correcting anything. He's essentially sending a letter of thanks and takes the opportunity to encourage them in the faith. Philippi was the first city that Paul reached after crossing from Asia Minor, what we would know as Europe, on a trade road. It was a Roman colony. It had been the place of battles. Roman soldiers settled there. It was Rome in miniature. Paul visited the city and started a church, and now he writes this letter from prison. We're not sure from where. It could be Ephesus or Rome. Where is not important. What is important is that he is a prisoner. And the Philippians have sent him some form of financial support, and so Paul is writing to say thanks for the gift. The gift signifies a broader relationship that gives Paul confidence and joy. The language is one of partnership and fellowship, one soul, one mind. And then in verse 21, we seem to start in the middle of something here. At the beginning of the chapter and the letter, Paul writes an opening prayer thanking God for the Christians in Philippi. And then he goes on to write what's happening to him. I'm in prison, but it's okay. It's turning out for good. It's inspiring people to talk about Christ. The gospel is being spread. He could be executed or released. According to Paul, it's not so bad. At the time, prison could be seen as a holding place until death. But if he dies, he is with Christ, which is great for Paul. And if he's released, it's better for others. In fact, it will bring joy in the faith. Living is Christ, dying is gain. Actually, Paul seems to put this the wrong way. Dying for Christ is not the true sacrifice. Actually, living is. Following Jesus here in this life. There's uncertainty about his future, and yet there's a confidence in Christ. He writes about fruitful labor that is a response to the gospel of Jesus. I wonder what this looks like. Are we talking paid jobs? Perhaps we can relate to the parable of the workers in the vineyard here, also in the lectionary today. In the context of a pandemic, we have this challenge of balance when it comes to fruitful labour, opening the economy versus the cost of lives. And we've seen that talked about a lot this year. Perhaps we can identify with Paul's dilemma here. One thing we can see here. Paul is certain there is something after death. Death is not the end. Death is to be with Christ. Life here is temporary. Living is Christ. Dying is gain. And being with Christ. I brainstormed in my journal about what this verse is. For to me to live is Christ. Am I living this? What does this mean for my life? This is what I wrote. To put Christ first in my day, to prioritize time with God, prayer and reading the Bible, to start and finish the day with God, to live the gospel, to love all, put others first, forgive, live with hope, speak in hope, to see people through the eyes of Jesus. My purpose for living is Christ, and Christ is my source of joy, hope, strength, and resilience. And it also includes experiencing God in creation. On Friday, Craig and I went to the beach for a walk. We saw the telltale sign of people looking out, and we looked hoping to see a dolphin. But it wasn't a dolphin, it was a seal. You can't exactly see it in the photo, it's a black dot. The seal was swimming parallel to the beach, not that far out, surfacing briefly every so often. It was much closer earlier, but we were too busy watching it to take a photo. It was beautiful to watch. There's something special about seeing wildlife up close. When we experience God in creation, it certainly lifted our souls. Perhaps an advantage of truly living. To live is Christ. You know, this list is not exhaustive, but it helped me to think about it. And I invite you to write down what to live is Christ means for you. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. We are to live our lives worthy of the gospel. In fact, the original language here has an interesting word that he doesn't use anywhere else. Polituomai, from polis, for city. So this could be translated as your citizenship should be worthy of the gospel of Christ. He is saying that the behaviour required of the Philippians is a reflection of the citizenship that they have as members of the Christian community. There was a lot of civic pride in this Roman colony, so that this would make sense to them. You know, the gospel gives us criteria for what is worthwhile life. What does that look like when we belong to Christ? We are to live our lives in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, to reflect the good news of God's love and mercy and empowerment for new life. Living worthily doesn't mean following a strict set of rules, but rather embodying the message of liberating divine love seen in Jesus Christ. You know, in the next chapter, we see modeled by Jesus as he offers himself for humanity, where he doesn't seek equality with God for himself, but empties himself to become obedient even to the cross. Our greatest joy is knowing Jesus, being loved by God with a love so wide, so deep, so high that we can't possibly comprehend it. Philippians is a letter of joy, a book of joy. In fact, joy and rejoice is mentioned 16 times, and it's written from prison. The Philippians were themselves suffering persecution, and yet Paul writes of joy. Whatever happens in life, we can experience joy. Whatever happens, we're here to live our lives worthy of the gospel. And then I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. We're to stand firm in one spirit and strive together as one without being frightened. Literally, it is striving side by side with one mind. Is this our story? Striving together as one? This is our challenge together, as a community, as a church. In Philippians, Paul tells us his story. He tells the story of Jesus, and he tells the story of others. And he's not preoccupied with the next world to the neglect of this one. Rather, he lets his firm belief in the next world fuel his living in this one. Sometimes Christianity is preoccupied with heaven to come, that it's of no or little earthly good. Christianity has come to focus on a distant afterlife, but the early church stressed life here and now. You know, in this passage, Paul finds joy and fulfillment in life, even when life stinks. As he writes from prison, possibly facing execution, at the time, people were trying to stir up trouble for Paul, but Paul was still full of joy because Jesus makes life worth living. Maybe you've been overwhelmed with the difficulties of life. Perhaps you have searched to find some kind of joy and fulfillment in life, only to be disappointed and discouraged. But Jesus can make our lives worth living. And here in the last part of Philippians chapter 1, we see how Jesus can give us joy and fulfillment, even in the most difficult times of life. Whatever happens, keep living your lives based on the reality of the gospel of Christ. To live is Christ. Live this life worthy of the gospel of Christ, striving together as one. To live is Christ. Let's pray together. Loving God, we give you thanks that to live is Christ. We thank you for the joy, the hope, the purpose that we can know as we follow you. We thank you for your deep, deep love for us. So deep, so wide, so high, that we can scarcely comprehend it. Lord Jesus, to live is you. And we thank you. We're conscious of those things in our life, those times when we don't draw near to you, when we do things that separate us from you and from others, and we confess them to you now. And we give you thanks that through your death we are forgiven, we are free. Holy Spirit, help us to live this life worthy of the gospel of Christ. Help us to strive together as one. Help us to wake up in the morning to finish the day thinking of you, remembering living this life in Christ. We pray that in all of our lives, in every season, that we will remember that you are still God. And we have a reason to sing. We have a reason to worship. And we have a reason to live. Amen.
desert, with all that's within me feels dry. This is my prayer in my hunger and need. My God is the God who provides. This is my prayer in the fire, in weakness or trial or pain. There is a faith proved of more worth than gold. We shall remain. I will rejoice, I will declare, God is my victory and He is here. This is my prayer in the battle, when triumph is still on its way. I am a conqueror and co-heir with Christ, so firm on His promise I'll stand. I will bring praise, I will bring praise. No weapon formed against me shall remain. I will rejoice, I will declare, God is my victory and He is here. All of my life, in every season, You are still God. I have a reason to worship. All of my life, in every season, You are still God. I have a reason to sing. I have a reason to worship. All of my life, in every season, You are still God. Formed against me shall remain. I will rejoice, I will declare, God is my victory and He is here. This is my prayer in the harvest, when favor and providence flow. I know I'm filled to be emptied again. The seed I've received, I will sow.
We have the privilege of being invited into prayer. We're going to pray for others now. And I'm going to leave some spaces in there and invite you to be thinking and praying for different places that are on your heart. Let's pray together. Father God, Lord of heaven and earth, we pray for our world. I encourage you to think of a country or a place that's on your heart and to pray. Lord of heaven and earth, we lift our prayers for our world. Lord Jesus, Lord of all creation, we pray for our communities. And I encourage you to think of someone, some organization, something that's in your community to pray for. Lord Jesus, we lift to You our prayers for our communities. And Holy Spirit, Spirit of heaven and earth, we pray for those that we know and love, that need Your love your hope, that need to know what it is to really live. And I encourage you to lift people to God that are on your heart. Holy Spirit, we especially think of people that have lost loved ones in this last week. We pray for teachers as they go into their last week of school, for students and staff, and for all the names and faces that we've lifted to you. We pray for your hope, for your love, for your peace, and that they will truly know what it is to live in you. We also pray for our offerings and gifts, financial and practical, and pray that these gifts would be used to share the gospel, the good news of your grace and love, both locally and globally. God of wonders, we offer you our prayers today in the name of Jesus. Amen.
The heavens.
Thank you for being a part of this service today. I hope it's been refreshing. I encourage you to reach out and to connect with others. We have a couple of events in the Nature Festival here at Adelaide West next weekend. Places to experience and to explore nature and spirituality. So you can go to our website for details of those. Prayer is always available. Ring or email, or if you're watching live, press the prayer button. To live is Christ. We find joy in Christ despite difficult times, despite circumstances. And we live this life worthy of the gospel based on the reality of God's love for all. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship, friendship and unity of the Holy Spirit be with each of you today and each day as you serve God's world. Amen. Blessings on your week.
Weapon formed against me shall remain. I will rejoice, I will declare, God is my victory and He is here. This is my prayer in the harvest, when favor and providence flow. I know I'm filled to be emptied again. The seed I've received I will sow.